In Peru, we talk a lot about diversity, how diverse we are in terms of culture, in terms of food, ethnicities, and so many other things. And if you take a look at the publicity shown by the government, you know, overseas, trying to promote our country for tourists to visit us, and you always see this wide, wide variety of things that we have to offer. So I was watching one of these commercials the other day, and I started thinking, I mean, are we really that diverse? I mean, I think we are, you know, because Peru is a huge country with many, many different things to offer. But do we really embrace that? Or is it just a publicity stunt? So I decided to ask myself this question, and to also ask my friends around the world what they thought of diversity in their cities, in their countries, you know, and trying to find out how diverse the world really is, and if the world perceives itself as diverse, and if we are actually embracing and accepting that diversity, or if it's just an idea to sell postcards. I'm Colas, and this is what my friends have to say about diversity. So, if we want to talk about diversity, first we need to define what diversity is. I actually was able to find this pretty good definition made by the Queensborough Community College. And they define diversity as understanding that each individual is unique and recognizing our individual differences, and these can be along the dimensions of race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, age, physical abilities, religious beliefs, political beliefs, or other ideologies. So it's pretty wide, and it's pretty vast. It's kind of difficult. So I thought, okay, let's focus on, you know, what's the most, let's say, relevant or easy to understand, which are cultural diversity, sexual diversity, and religious diversity. These are probably the most, let's say, relevant dimensions or aspects of diversity nowadays. So let's focus on that. I was thinking, I mean, when it comes to Peru, I mean, we are diverse, right? I mean, I see that every day on the streets, you know, on the radio, on the media. You kind of see that. But do we really embrace that? Do we really celebrate diversity? I think we only do it on certain times a year, you know, and when it's socially accepted to do it, at least by the majority. And with majority, I'm talking about the market. So as long as some kind of diversity is making revenue for companies, they will accept it and they will celebrate it. And they will probably make you think that it's okay that they support you, when the truth is it doesn't work that way. So I guess I could say that for the picture, Peru is pretty proud of its diversity, but not really. I mean, we have it, it's a resource, can make us money, but it doesn't mean we really appreciate it for what it is. Now, that's when diversity is used as a marketing tool. And that's what I think it's happening here in Peru. But what happens when diversity, it's kind of a center point of politics and the government? What happens when dealing with diversity represents a bigger part of the political life of a country? For example, what's happening in Greece.
Greece is either supportive or not very welcoming towards any diversity. The Greek society is very different to the Greek government. Even though the state has made a lot of steps when it comes to other religions or providing rights to homosexual people, for example, the majority of the society still has to change its mentality about things. Actual violent events won't take place frequently, but it's the judging or the verbal attacks that, if you ask me, are heavier against those people. The majority of Greek people respect other cultures, but still there are some that aren't easily accepted. The Greek culture has a dominant character. Throughout history, there was no need for assimilation, since every foreigner living here chose or wanted to be Greek. The people who are not easily accepted are those from the Middle East or Asia. Since our culture has more differences than similarities, it's at a distance, and most people even consider it unhealthy, dirty, or barbaric. One adjective that I can call Greek people is proud. The rich history and the culture that gave birth to Europe is for sure dominant, and other cultures are considered inferior. So, diversity here has to do a lot of steps, but since we have a government that is said to be welcoming to that, there will be no problem.
That's Vasilis. He's a friend from Greece, and he actually became a local celebrity not long ago because of his videos in which he dances folk dances from all over Europe. So basically, I think no one else understands diversity and variety more than him. Plus, he speaks many, many languages that he learned on his own. So I really, really admire and respect his point of view on this topic. But the thing with Greece, as he mentions, is politics, of course, but it has to do a lot too with culture and religion. There are more and more atheists around the world nowadays, and you know, they most of the time think that the state and the life of a country shouldn't be dictated by a religious preference. But it's something that we cannot just separate from one day to the next, because it's ingrained in our, you know, in the social tissue. So it's a part of us. We cannot separate the two things. So when we talk about diversity and we talk about culture, we have to talk about religion, and it plays a major role in different cultures in many, many countries.
Greece's official religion is Orthodoxy, and it's not a secular state, it's the state religion. So that means that other religions come second. In 2017, for example, the construction of a mosque took place in Athens, but it got frozen when the situation with Turkey became critical, and still is. Greek people mostly connect Islam with Turkey because of our Ottoman occupation for 500 years, so that's why it's a taboo here.
Religion also plays a major role in places like Iran, for example, where Hamid is.
Hello. Right now I'm going to talk about how is diversity seen in my city. Iran, which is my country, and Tehran, which is my city and the capital of Iran. Okay, as you know, probably Iran is a Shia Muslim country. But people, they have like different religions, from no religion to Judaism, Baha'i, Sunni, atheist, agnostic. There are so many different religions, but it's not something, it's not that normal, or how to say it, it's not that common for people to talk about or post about it. Although in Twitter you see more sharing on that matter. And is it embraced or rejected? I mean, I'm a left-wing person in general, and by the way, left-wing in Iran is maybe can be considered right-wing in other countries, but mostly from right-wing, more like right people. these things are rejected. So sexuality should be male and female for them. Culture, it's more acceptable, like generally people accept it, even though many people are low-key racist, but I mean, in compared with others, other kinds of diversity, this one sounds like seems better. For right wing, I was saying religiously, so I guess mostly they wouldn't accept. But for left wing people, it's super accepted. So thank you very much.
In Peru, when it comes to religion, I mean, we have Christian religions, and those are the strongest. And even though there are some other small groups, I mean, we don't pay that much attention to them. So the diversity there is much more centralized. So basically, it's Christianism and some other small groups. But even when it comes to education, in terms of religion, for us in public schools, and well, in private schools too, when it comes to the religion class, we study the Bible, which is, you know, the sacred text from Catholics and Christians and all of the other Abrahamic religions, but we don't study religion itself, and we don't study other religions. You know, we don't talk about Islam, we don't talk about Buddhism, we don't talk about Taoism, we don't talk about, nor even Judaism, we don't talk about anything else. So it's very circumscribed to this one topic. So this is the major religion, and that's what you need to learn and forget about everything else. So diversity there is really constrained to one single major religious group. So there's no diversity there. The first time I talked to Hamid, and I've learned that he was from Iran, I was really curious. I wanted to know more, because the only thing we knew about this country was from the news, from the war in Middle East, you know, and from the political crisis in that region. But I mean, we didn't know much about its people, about its culture. We only knew about the political implications of certain religious groups in the area. And you know, you have this idea of Middle East, and we had this generalized idea of underdevelopment and they being stuck in the past, you know, and sand and deserts and low quality of life. But actually, judging by his social media, I mean, they have a pretty nice life standard, and things are way more modern than you may think, even more modern than here in Peru. So to me, it was eye-opening just knowing about his reality, how diverse Iran is in general.
In this city, you can find different ethnicities. But something should be mentioned here that in Iran, we don't have like that many foreigners, because as you probably know, there's not that good publicity of Iran in the world. And also the tourists, I'm talking about before Corona, tourists mostly prefer other cities like Shiraz or Yazd or Isfahan to visit. So Tehran is not that much touristic. But in Iran, we have many different ethnicities with different names that you may heard or may not. For example, we have Kurds, we have Turks, we have Azeris, which also called Turks in Iran. We have Lors, we have Bakhtiaris, we have Qashqais, we have Baluchis, which also you find in Pakistan. We have Arabs, we have Fars people, which are like Iranians. And so most of the diversity on ethnicity are coming from this side and from different, like, let's say, tribes here. Iran is not a tribal country, by the way. I meant the different ethnicity. I'm trying hard to avoid race because it doesn't make sense to call it different races.
So it's not only about cultures or ethnic cities, it's also about politics, religion. But in the last 20 years, we also have to talk about sexual diversity. And this topic has become more and more relevant as time goes by. And even countries that never had this kind of conversation before are forced to face the fact that there are many types of sexualities and you have to learn how to deal with it, even though there's a vast majority that don't want to think about that, as what happens in Taiwan.
Hey guys, I'm back. I'm Peter from Taiwan, and today I'm gonna talk about the situation of LGBT community in my hometown, Miaoli, Taiwan. As I know, our county is full of many conservative people since they are the supporters of KMT, which is a conservative party in Taiwan. And most of them are old citizens, so it means their thinking are not and are definitely narrow-minded. And Miaoli is also known for the desert of gay people, since it's very hard to find gay people here because they are low keys in their lives. And most people will choose big cities such as Taipei or Taichung, you know, and because the societies there are more open-minded for LGBT community.
So sexual diversity is something that's there. And even though it's evident and it's been there for ages, you know, just now we are starting to talk about this thing and trying to really embrace it, even though in some parts of the world, homosexuality, for example, is still considered illegal.
About sexual, if we're talking about male and female, in Middle East, female, like girls and women, have better opportunities in compare with countries around, but we still have a long way to go to achieve equal rights. But we have a higher number of educated women in compare with men. And these days, really good movements are happening. About the gay rights, it's not legal here, but Iran supports like transsexuals, and they're free to like change their like their sex, and that's something fine. Also, although culturally, they still get like these eyes from people, but it's getting better and better in that matter.
Sure, when it comes to Peru, I mean, you could say we're trying and people are more accepting of it. I mean, if you compare it to what they thought of it 20 years ago or 50 years ago, but still there's a lot of work to do, you know. And I feel like it has become a trend, especially in terms of marketing and public relations, to talk about this topic without really, really having a meaningful conversation of what it means. You know, major corporations, big brands support this thing, you know, using the LGBTQ flag everywhere, you know, using their colors when it's pride season. But apart from that, I mean, what's the real contribution of it? I believe that there is no better way to learn how to appreciate diversity than getting in touch with it. So, you know, talking to different kinds of people, you know, doing different kinds of things, learning about different kinds of topics, you know, trying to listen and to learn that the world is more than just the place in which you've always been, the people you know, the things that are familiar to you. And most of the time, you know, we learn what diversity is at work.
I consider diversity to be very, very beneficial. For me, it's like nothing gives you more motivation than knowing that not everything you know is all that exists. And yeah, I think that's very powerful. Honestly, in my city, the realities are very diverse, but I would be lying if I believed that I knew them all, especially because my work forces me to interact more with foreigners. So focusing on that, from my experience, I found cultural diversity at work mainly to be invaluable, because what foreigners tell me helps me understand what our country looks like from the outside. And of course, it's not always the best view, but you can see when it's to be improved, when it's to be done. Well, I have been working with people from all over the world for more than 6 years now. But even to this day, I keep learning, you know, from everything I see, every story they tell me, how different their points of view and the realities can be. Of course, it's not always sunshine and rainbows, but we have to accept that too, because we all have flaws. That's part of who we are.
Well, she's Carmen, she's one of my best friends. She's also from Peru. And actually, she made me think about diversity in a whole different way, because I was talking to my friends about these major types of diversity, but diversity itself, it's contained in these small interactions that we have every day with people that, I mean, we are not familiarized with, but we have to communicate with them because of work, because of our studies, because of whatever we do. And through that, we are learning and we are starting to understand the world and how big it is and how different and diverse it is.
For the most part, diversity is celebrated. Once you really know the identity of each community, you can use it as a working tool. That's what I've been doing for quite a while. Because in the industry that I work, although we all speak English to communicate, knowing and understanding our identities makes us get to each other on another level. And I think that's the real power of being diverse.
Exactly what she said. It's a tool. It's a tool that we can use to understand the world we're living in. Diversity is understanding that we are all different, but it's also understanding that we have to keep an open mind, not only to recognize the differences, but trying to learn from those differences so we can be whole, so we can be better. So I guess that's what my friends have to say about diversity. So whether you are, I'm pretty sure there is a lot of diversity surrounding you. Even if your peers don't embrace it, do it. Celebrate it. Experience it. You might learn a thing or two. I know I did.